Nets Live. Well, good evening, everyone. Who is that? I know it's not Inklebird Humperdinck. That's got to be Tom Jones or something.
Oh, Neil Diamond.
I'm sorry. Welcome, members of the Republic. Welcome with Neil Diamond in the background. What's the name of that song, Janine?
Coming to America.
Coming to America. Welcome to week 51 of the Republic Roundtable. It's June 28th. And I'm your host, Robert Zuluaga, and Janine is our producer. We have a lot of exciting things happening in the Republic, absolutely taken off. So I'm very excited. This evening we're going to have an update from the President on his State of the Union tour. Congress, we're going to have the Senate give us an update. And I believe John Gould is going to give us an update from the judiciary. So I'd like you to join me with in a word of prayer as I invite Bill Dobek from Arizona to open us. Good evening, Bill.
Good evening, everybody. Well, we'll just press in before the Lord. And Lord, we just want to thank you for all the things that you're doing in this republic. And as we graft together in love for one another, and the Word commands us to love the Lord our God with everything within us, and to come alongside our neighbor and to love them as ourselves. And Lord, the foundation of all of this that you're calling us to do is love. You are love. And as your creation, we learn love, and you put us in situations to test our mettle in that regard. So as you're bringing a whole new level of unity to this republic, I pray, Lord, that we put you first in everything. And as you exhort us through the power of your Spirit, that we come alongside one another in unity and love and reverence for you and everything that you call us to say and to do. Let us be a reflection of who you are on this earth as we proclaim your gospel to the four corners and make disciples of all nations. And we thank you, Lord, for this command that you've given us and the embracing of this command as we walk forward. Lord, I thank you for Robert and all the guests that are going to be on our call tonight, and particularly as our president, as you guard him as he goes from place to place to proclaim your oracles. Lord, just bless this meeting and everything that comes forth from the mouths of your servants. To the precious name of our Lord, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Bill. While we have our heads bowed and we're in a time of reflection and prayer, I would just like you to pause and pray for the families of a couple of our members who have passed away this week. We have Beth Fox, the Secretary of State out of Montana, who passed away with cancer, and John Allen, a representative out of Illinois, who's had a heart attack. So, Lord, we just lift these two folks up to you. We know that when folks know you, it's a wonderful thing that they go to your arms, but it's those who are left behind. So we just lift up the families of these members. We thank you, Lord, for their service and their dedication to re-inhabit the republic, to be part of the saints who've gone before us. And Lord, we just pray comfort over the families of these folks. In the name of the precious name of Jesus Christ and by his blood. Janine, I understand that we have Sharon and Zali on the line who would like to give some comments.
I don't have her here yet, Robert. I've been watching for her. And,
I have her here. All
do you find her? Okay.
I do. Uh-huh.
Hi.
Good evening, Sharon. Can you hear me?
I can. Thank you so much for mentioning our state representative. Love John dearly. He was one of the original 27 signers, always a voice of reason, and I counted on him a lot to help round everyone up on the southern end of the state to get their paperwork in, and John always went way beyond the call of duty, and he's missed and cherished, and on that, I yield.
Thanks, Sharon.
You're welcome.
Janine, perhaps you could put it in Q&A, and if we have anyone out of Montana who wants to weigh in, and this is only for someone in Montana who has a commentary or a something to say with regards to Beth Fox.
I'm looking for a Montana area code. I'm not finding it yet this evening, Robert.
Okay. Well, thanks, Janine. Then go ahead and take it off Q&A. All right, very good. Now, I know a lot of you had the opportunity of hearing the president this morning. It was terrific on setting up of courts, absolutely power-packed. If you haven't had an opportunity to hear that, if your work schedule didn't permit it, then those are replays. And perhaps Janine, you could give us the replay announcements.
Call and the document that the president was working from today is already posted on the national site, the same area where we go to get the roundtable call recordings. It's in the same place.
Perfect.
And it's waiting for everyone.
Very good. All right. Well, I know he's been on the phone a lot today, but I'd like to welcome the president not only to the call, but also to Arizona. Welcome, Mr. President.
Thank you, Robert and Janine. We appreciate all your work, as usual. I'm glad to be here in Arizona. Been treated very well so far, and I don't expect that will change. The folks around here have been very nice to us. We appreciate that very much.
It's just a mild 110 degrees, right?
Oh, yeah, just nothing major. We did learn to park in the shade, not in the sun.
Good luck.
What little shade there is. But it's been a beautiful time here with the folks here in Arizona. I've enjoyed it. I always do every time I come here. It's like a homecoming. It's like a big family gathering, family reunion. So I always enjoy that. I really had a lot of fun traveling around the country and enjoying the people. I always enjoy meeting and talking with the people. Had a good little class this morning, I feel like it. We scheduled it for 4 hours. I figured it would probably go three, but it went 4.5. But we scheduled a four-hour block for it, and it went 4.5 hours. It could have went another hour, I think, but we had to cut it off because I had other appointments. I had some very good questions, had a good interaction from the group this morning, and put out a very simple, straightforward, no fluff outline that talks about how the court works. Explains it very well, and it's not perfect or complete by any means, but it is a basic outline that gives you an idea of how the courts actually work and what the players in the system are supposed to do and how the grand jury works, and it actually walks you through step by step through actual trial by jury, and it was a pretty good process. And court is very simple. It is not complicated. People that try to make it complicated because they make money off of making it complicated. And we're not trying to make money, so we make it simple and effective, and that's what our courts are designed to do, is to bring justice back to the American people. We hope that you'll go listen to the recording and go through the outline. You can get a copy of that as well, and go through it, because you'll learn a lot about how court actually works. There's been a lot of misconceptions out here in the Republic about court and about grand juries, and we're trying to correct those misconceptions. A lot of misconceptions also about due process, and we describe a lot about due process in that outline and on the recording. Answered lots of good questions, had some great questions, actually, this morning. And I think there were about 170-some-odd people on the call. It was a pretty good call. So there's a lot of knowledge floating around now, and you know I'm glad that we had the opportunity to do that. Appreciate Donna Strayer and her work trying to help get that done, and Janine as well that put it together. And I look forward to doing some more. From time to time we'll do another class. If the people communicate with Donna and let her know what they're interested in learning about, we'll research it out and just create an outline and do another call. It's good training to do that, so look forward to that. The Republic overall, we've really been pleased with what we're seeing in the country. Been to a number of places, and still got a lot more to see. We'll be going home for a break next week, and then we will be back on the road probably the third week of July. That's our tentative plan at this point. And we'll start in Colorado.
I was just going to say, do you know what that schedule looks
like? Yeah, we're going to Colorado, then California is our tentative schedule right now. And then we'll be in Portland, somewhere in Wyoming. And then we've got to go to Minnesota, Chicago, and probably somewhere in the Northeast. We're trying to spread it out somewhat. I can't go to every single state at the same time. We'll have to cover them. And eventually I will get to all of them, but it takes time, and it's a lot of work and a lot of effort, a lot of expense to go and travel the way we do. And thankfully, God has provided every step of the way, as He always does. I felt compelled to go out and talk to the people, and that's what we do. And I always enjoy doing that. So things are looking well. We are moving forward in a number of areas right now. Got to have some meeting with some very interesting people today. It's amazing to me at the people that are wanting to come into the Republic. We had some, had a couple join today, actually, and have some agreements for a number of people to join. And these people are connected to large groups of people, and some of them even in the Beltway. It's amazing that they've got people in the Beltway that work in Washington are very interested in the Republic.
Excellent.
And so we're making connections all over, and things are beginning to change. And you'll see things change more and more. As we've talked before, we are actively working on the Cities of Refuge project. Things are starting to change. We are moving into some area in the country that is kind of getting kind of scary. I received just a few minutes ago a report from Reuters that says 5 of our major banks are in real trouble and may actually collapse by the 1st of July. And that's pretty serious from a financial, a major financial news source to say that. So, folks, you need to make sure that your families are provided for, you have some basic stuff put away. We could see some supply chain interruptions this summer, later in the summer, possibly fall, early fall. And I hope and pray it doesn't happen, but at the same time, I understand the times we live in. And you need to come together with your neighbors. You need to come and work together. Get to know who your neighbors are. Learn how you can share resources, because it could be the survival for you and your family in the future. We may see some very, very tough things in the future.
Well, President Tim, I think that's very yesterday in the news. Stockton, California announced their bankruptcy. And the news reported that Detroit, the city of Detroit, is right behind him, and following that is L.A. Just imagine Detroit and L.A. going bankrupt, not doing payroll for their police and fire. I mean, go ahead.
Yeah, I was in a meeting with a gentleman just yesterday that's very knowledgeable about what's going on in the court systems and the financial systems. And he was very adamant. He said, it's going down this summer. He said, the system has got to collapse. It's gone as far as it can go. And he said, before the summer's out, it will collapse totally. And he's already moving his family to the country, and this guy's very well connected. He's concerned. And as we are, but, you know, the one thing that I've tried to explain to him, and I hope he got it, was that we have a higher source. We can't depend on just our own abilities. We've got to depend on God as well to bring us through this time, because judgment's coming to America. It's got to come. The books have to be balanced. They always do. And the books of America are out of balance with God, and he's going to balance the books. And it may see some tough times, folks, but don't panic and don't get worried. Learn who the Creator is. Find out who God really is. Get close to him, and he'll see you through the problems.
You know, President Tim, it's coming closer to the reality of it's coming closer in my experience of how things are unfolding. I had a dream that we would save all of America. You know, my sense was, well, you know, this is for all Americans. But the more we drill down on this, I realize that all America has not sought the face of God.
Well, your dream may be true, though, Robert, because when you say Americans, the people that are U.S. citizens are not Americans.
Okay.
So the people in the Republic might be who you're talking about.
Well, I actually, you know, that's a really good segue for a question that I've been pondering all day. Are you ready for a question?
I will do my best.
All right. What I've been pondering is you said something in some of our discussions here in the last couple of days about, in fact, I think you said it on the call this morning, about being your straw man,
mm-hmm.
Which is your all caps, and moving in commerce in your
mm-hmm.
straw man,
yeah.
versus knowing who you are as
right.
as a free man. So my question for you is, how does that dance? Now that when you had developed the secure party creditor
yes.
process,
mm-hmm.
folks are really clear on what it was to get out of the system
mm-hmm.
per se.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that process has been eclipsed by the establishing of the Republic.
Mm-hmm.
and the strength in the Republic and the strength
Absolutely.
In the structure of
mm-hmm.
government. So would you talk about the balancing act between your de facto straw man and who we are in the Republic from the context of contracting and recontracting or necessary contracting?
I guess about the best way I can describe this is you have to understand that the straw man was created for your benefit.
Okay.
Most people think they get confused with who they are and who the straw man is. It was created to operate in commerce. It was created as a transmitting utility is what it's referred to as. And think of it like this. On the highway, you drive a vehicle. You don't go running down the interstate. If you do, you'll get killed. It's not a place for natural persons to be jogging up and down the interstate. You would get creamed real soon. I could see you jogging down the interstate in L.A. or even here in Phoenix. You'd get clobbered. But you would get into your vehicle and you would drive safely up and down the interstate. Well, you've got to understand that once you understand how to take control of contracts with a straw man as a secured party creditor, you actually operate him in commerce. But it's not you, it's him that is operating for you. It's kind of like owning a company, you might say, a company. You buy things in the name of the company. You do business in the name of the company. You pay taxes in the name of the company, but that company is not you, is it? Okay, the straw man has the same effect. And once you understand how to operate your straw man, I've been doing it for years, and I've never had a problem, and I do have secured party creditor status. In fact, that's the reason that I can't get a passport, is the corporation will not issue me a passport simply because I am a secured party creditor. They can't issue me a passport because I'm not a U.S. citizen. And that's the problem that I've had with getting a passport.
Wow.
I tried to get it as a national, and they won't do that either. But anyway, I understand how the straw man is supposed to work. I took control of the straw man just like I would take control of my vehicle or my business and operate it as such. But I know the difference. And so when I'm interacting with courts or de facto agents out here, I educate many of them on the difference. And they don't quite understand it sometimes, but many of them begin to catch on.
So, okay, for a number of the members in the Republic, they've signed in, joined in the Republic. They still drive a vehicle, private, admittedly, but they still choose for just maybe it's to be wise as a serpent and gentle as a dove to go ahead and continue to have a driver's license.
And I have one as well.
And
I
insurance.
I didn't for a long time, but I did get one. And just for convenience sake. And I don't have a driver's license. My straw man has a driver's license.
Okay. Now you work for a job, not saying yourself, but others working at as an employee for a corporation who are totally tied in with the de facto. Uh-huh. They get a W-2, W-4, I, whatever it is, get all their, you know, the taxes taken out. How does that go when one's a member of the Republic and there comes time to file a tax return in the corporation?
Well, that's getting into a gray area. Your straw man can file taxes just like a business can file taxes. I don't recommend people don't pay taxes. I think you should pay all of the taxes that you owe.
That's so if you've contracted with the de facto.
If you work for yourself outside of commerce in the de facto system, like I have a private business, you literally don't owe taxes. That the taxes were created and legislated for employees of the corporation, and that's all they were ever legislated for. And once you understand that, I have had several requests for audits, and I've answered every one of them in the last few years and explained to them, you know, I'll be happy to come to your audit if you will comply with the law, and that is subpoena me properly from a court, a district court, and also bring the law with you that shows that you have the right to charge me a tax simply because I don't believe you have the authority. I also remind them that Title 18 was never properly passed. It was passed by what is known as a rump of Congress, and I can prove that, and we'll be happy to prove that in court. The problem with most people, they don't understand how to get the evidence in court.
Okay.
And so rather than going through the hassle and exposure that I will create, because I promise you I will create some exposure for the corporation if they take me to court. So far, they have just left me alone. Sometimes you're more trouble to them than you're worth. And, you know, if they tried to collect money from me right now, they'd be sorely disappointed because I've already spent all my money. And
okay. Well, and you are very adept in the court. So
yes,
from
sir.
That standpoint, you're leading the charge in that regard. But for those others who are in the Republic and have this two sides, okay?
Right.
There's the free side and there's the de facto entanglements. Mm-hmm. Is it recontracting to file a tax return, have a driver's license, or any of those, marriage certificate, insurance, any of those? Is that recontracting, and does it compromise a member of the Republic in any way?
It depends on how you contract.
Okay.
How do you sign your documents?
Okay.
I do not sign documents for my real physical man. I sign them for the all capital letter name.
So you sign them all caps?
Yes.
Oh, you sign them all caps?
Yeah, absolutely. And
okay.
That's the way I do it.
And okay.
If that's my name, that's my name. I mean, that's the straw man's name. It's not my name.
I see.
And I have documents filed in the court along also with the Secretary of State and also with the federal agencies that indicate that. See, I did my preparation to be able to do that, and I do have it lawfully filed and have proof of it. So when they come and look at my stuff, they kind of – I'm one of those kind of people that are probably not worth bothering with because I know not only – do I know the game? I know the fraud that's in the game, and I can prove it, and I can expose it, and that sometimes better off just leave some things alone. And I'm one of those kind of people that expose too much, and they probably, you know, I'm not saying they won't ever come after me for any reason, but if they do, I'm going to expose a lot of things, and that's probably not a place they want me to be in. So it's easier just leave me alone.
Okay. Oh, are you encouraging and recommending others to follow in that same direction?
I don't recommend anyone does anything until they fully understand it.
Okay.
With admin, we did all this years ago before there was ever a republic. Now, this is where we're moving in the republic, and this is the exciting part to me. It's back when we did the secured party creditor stuff and designed all of that stuff, and it took me 2 years to research and design that, working every day, almost 7 days a week, 14, 16 hours a day. It literally took us 2 years to do the research. Senator Geiger also helped do some of that research, and Tim Pledger helped do some of the research. We had many people that helped, and we spent literally 2 years, some of us did, spent two long, hard years to build this, working 6 and 7 days a week. And at that time, as you know, I was very ill, and I was compelled to finish the job because I didn't know if I was going to survive or not. I didn't know if I was going to live to finish it, so I was pushing it very, very hard to try to complete the process because I had already made arrangements to die. I thought I was going to die with leukemia at the time, but God saw fit to cure me of that, and I don't have that problem anymore.
Yeah, he wasn't finished with you yet.
He wasn't.
He had way too much more work to do.
Yeah, he wouldn't give me any rest yet, so I'm still pushing. But anyway, God chose to keep me around. But anyway, I finished the process, but it took me 2 years. Very, very hard. And that was a very well researched, and it's used all over the world, actually. Now I have people all over the world using it. But it woke a lot of people up. It made them realize the truth about how it really with the corporation, and I've trained thousands and thousands of people to understand the difference, but also to how to interact with these agencies and not have a problem, because I don't have problems with them. I never have had problems with them very much. And I learned how to address them. I learned how to act as a sovereign. See, most people don't know who they are, and they don't know how to act. If you go out there and act foolishly, you're going to get in trouble. I don't go out there and speed. I had one guy up north. He called me up one day and said, you know, I've done my freedom documents and they arrested me for speeding. I said, and wrote me a ticket. I said, well, did they put you in jail? He said, no, they just wrote me a ticket, but that's an arrest. I said, well, I said, what did you do? He said, I was speeding. I said, well, what, tell me what happened. He said, well, I was doing 70 in a 35 zone, or a 20 mile an hour zone. I said, well, 20 mile an hour zone, you were doing 70 miles an hour. He said, yeah, I was going through a school zone. I said, if I would have been the cop, I would have put you in jail.
Yeah.
I said, he said, yeah, but I'm a sovereign. I said, no, you're not. You don't even understand what being a sovereign is.
You're an idiot.
I said, I would have arrested you as a cop because you put people...
Irresponsible.
I said, was school in session? He said, yeah. I said, yeah, you should have been arrested.
Yeah.
And so he got angry with me because I told him he had to be responsible. But people have got to learn you've got to be responsible. Don't go out there poking the bear in the eye with a sharp stick unless you've got something to take care of the bear. It's not the job of the people in the Republic to go out there and antagonize people in law enforcement and these agencies. That's not what we're here for, folks. We're here to peacefully and lawfully build a government, and that's what we're doing. The exciting part of that is we're about to start the next phase that we're doing once our courts are in place is starting to license vehicles.
Oh, wow. All right.
Create registration of live birth or not certificates. I don't like the word certificate, and I don't like registration. We can call it
recording of live birth?
Maybe a recording of live birth. Yeah, we'll come up with a Congress will come up with a good name that doesn't have any
celebration
kind
of live birth.
No, whatever we call it. But it's not going to be something that can be monetized. We'll make sure of that. But why aren't we doing this for the people in the Republic? Why aren't we issuing them some kind of record of live birth? That's all it's got to be, is a record of live birth.
Mm-hmm.
That would be a good phrase.
Mm-hmm.
There's no certification. There's no registration. It's just a record of live birth.
Right.
Has no marketable value.
Right.
It's just a record. And these are the things we need to start looking at. What about our vehicles? The reason you have to have a license plate on a vehicle is because you don't own it. The state does.
Right.
When you purchase it, they give the real title to the state. So
even
when
before
we start
that,
giving,
you've got the manufacturer's
the manufacturer's certificate of origin.
Correct.
That is the real title.
Right.
And when you give that to the state, they give you a certificate of title. What we need to do is we need to give you the certificate of origin, and then we can actually issue you your own private license plate for your vehicle if you like. I mean, if you just want to interact, and we can register these. Well, not that's a bad word. Registration I don't like in that context. But we can send documentation to even the de facto agencies of these guys are lawfully valid to drive to operate their motor vehicles in private.
Say a record of ownership or something?
Maybe whatever the word is. The Congress will come up with the terms, proper terms.
Yeah.
But we need to do these things to protect our people. And once you have a driver's license is the wrong word to use, but maybe a traveler's identification card is all you need in the Republic.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you just need a registration showing that your car belongs to you.
And the ID would simply be that allows you to navigate between the de facto.
Right.
And,
see,
and,
we've got to have some mechanism to interact with these people in a way that they understand. And once we develop our system and we legislate it properly, then we're going to go sit down with the, just like we're doing now over the courts, with the de facto agencies and say, this is what we're going to do. We're already starting that process. And we're going to do this in our courts. Our people are going to be brought into our courts, and they're going to be sentenced, and sentences will be carried out, whatever that is. And it's none of your business, basically, because they're our people, just like your people are none of our business. And that's the way we need to state things, and we need to work to interact with those folks in a peaceful manner, in a manner they understand. When they stop you and pull you over and you don't have any kind of identification, you don't have any kind of registration for your car, you don't have a license plate, that sets off bells, whistles, and alarms with them, and they don't understand. Once we establish ourselves and the documentation that you need to operate within their commercial activities without incident, once they recognize those things, and they will, all we'll have to do is put a Republic sticker on the back corner of your back windshield that is reflective at night, and when they see that Republic sticker, they're not going to stop you for any reason. And that's where we're headed. But it takes time to develop these things.
Well, I heard you say this morning that that you're already having being approached by the de facto courts.
Yes.
To learn how to deal with.
They have already, and we've already responded. We've already had some meetings, and also had some interaction through letters I've actually sent, and we're waiting on responses for that. But we explained the rules to the FBI and Department of Justice on dealing with our people. And I look forward to working with them a little, even in the future, to let them understand our people are off limits. If one of our people harms somebody and you have to arrest them to protect them or somebody else, then when you need to notify us right away and let us come and pick our people up. Now, will they be arrested and tried? Possibly they might be if it was really a crime. But, you know, in our world, driving 10 miles over the speed limit is not an arrestable offense. As long as they don't cause an accident. Now they cause an accident, and that's another matter.
Or if in a school zone where a person's being irresponsible.
Well, and those are things Congress will have to work out.
Right.
I don't have the answers to all of those things because there's so many variables that we could spend days just talking about how to enforce traffic issues without victims. But there again, is it responsible to allow somebody, if you saw somebody swerving and running all over the road because they were drunk, would you allow them to do that and kill your family?
Right.
But they've not hurt anybody yet. But should we allow them to give them that opportunity? These are issues Congress is going to have to work out. Personally, I think you should stop them at least. You might not arrest them, but you might call somebody or put impound their car and call a cab and send them home safely so they don't kill themselves or someone else.
Right.
You know, these are the things we've got to work through Congress and work out these issues because we live in a very complex society and we don't really know how to handle some of these things exactly. That's something Congress will work through.
You know, that's a really interesting point because I was watching a documentary this week on Texas. Texas has a zero tolerance with their kids in school. Mm-hmm. So kids are getting court. They go to court for one kid was in a fight. Another kid hit him. He responded and he defended himself. He has a court record now against him, and he's like 12 years old or something. He's just a kid, you know.
What's a good thing you didn't do that when I was coming up?
Well, I know. What they're trying to do is to try to say, no, they've got to create some sort of structure around these kids. But, you know, why take it to that extreme?
Because they want control.
Oh, it's crazy.
It's all about control.
It ruins a kid's life at an early age when he's learning how to not only exercise muscle but do the right thing and defend himself.
Mm-hmm.
So. Anyway, so things are certainly out of control in that regard.
They are, and those are some of the things that we'll have to address in the Republic. That's why I'm encouraged and excited about what's going on in the Republic, because every time we move forward, like the court system is being established, we will have our own DMV. Won't be required to be registered, but if you want to be registered in our Department of Motor Vehicles, certainly that it shows you own your car and you have a private license plate, and it will be in a database that can be verified by somebody. We have a lot of this fake stuff going on out here from the Patriot community, and it really law enforcement officers are warned against all of that stuff because it is fake. I know people that have made their own license plates. Well, where do they get the authority to do that? And some people say, well, we're sovereign, we have that authority. Well, that may be true, but you got to look at it from their perspective. They're used to having, they believe that the laws they support or rules and regulations they support as laws are valid. So why do we want to poke them in the eye? Why don't we just appear to be similar and create a system of our own that they can access and they can verify this person is in the Republic and he does have a valid travel identification card and he does have a valid license plate on his car, even though it belongs to him and it's in his private capacity, and his car is owned by him. Why can't we do that? I mean, it would make life so much easier for everybody. And as the more and more people we do that, the more credibility we're going to establish with the other agents.
You know, and it also, and it changes the whole tone of it, because instead of the de facto policeman being fearful of someone in the Republic. They see that we are law-abiding, lawful, have our right to be free,
exactly,
and unmolested.
Actually, what you will see happening is that more and more people will recognize that we are not those crazy people that are out here trying to destroy America. We're really lawful, law-abiding, God-fearing, honest, hardworking citizens that are just trying to make a difference. And once you identify with a large group of people like that, and that's the opinion that the law enforcement will have is favorable at that point, which is already beginning to happen. I'm already seeing that happen in the country. There is a change taking place even now. We are becoming credible in the eyes of law enforcement across the nation.
Well, that'll be good. I know that Monty Olson up in North Dakota has certainly been beat up by him recently. Yeah. Perhaps it's a personal vendetta against him. But
it could be.
Yeah.
And we need to support our – one thing we need to do is work together to support our members. You know, we can't just let them be abused without consequences. I can tell you public opinion is very strong. And if we start having enough people stand up with one another, we can change things and make a difference.
You know, I just want to bear witness to something that I observed yesterday. We were in a meeting, and the president had the opportunity to talk to a fellow who's very smart, very influential, and had a very strong preconceived idea of President Turner and the Republic, mm-hmm, and how he thought we were a bunch of whack jobs. Mm-hmm. And as time unfolded in the course of the meeting, the man's attitude changed, would you say, 180 degrees, 360 degrees?
I believe he totally took an about face.
And the tone of it was that not only did the president conduct himself very humbly and slowly just let the man see how authentic that we are, and the other folks in the meeting also, patient, quiet, not getting upset, not getting angry, not invalidating him where he is, but it was just a very good exchange, and over a gradual period of time, the transformation was obvious.
He is a barred attorney, and he has his preconceived notions. That's true. And at first, you'll probably notice yesterday that I was very reserved. I listened instead of talk.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to see where this man really was. And then once I figured out where he was, I knew where to approach him. And once I began, it took about, we 6 or 7 hours in this meeting. But about halfway or 3 or 4 hours into the meeting, I knew what he needed to hear. And I presented it. And I hadn't said a whole lot up to that point, if you noticed.
I did.
I sat back and was listening and paying attention. And
he asked you a lot of tough questions.
Yes,
I mean, he really asked him to right up front. It's like, okay, who do you think you are? Come on, what's going on? Who are you? Yeah. What's your background?
And I answered him truthfully.
You did. It was perfect.
But you didn't
puff yourself up. That was what I was very impressed with.
I don't blow my own horn. If I have to blow my own horn, I don't have nothing to,
get nothing to blow
about. The bottom line is that we approached this man with intelligent conversation, and now he understands that, you know, the people of the Republic are not just this crazy bunch of dumb old hillbilly redneck crazy people out here. That our intelligence is equal to his intelligence. Maybe, you know, he knows that he has a intellectual match, at least in this group, several of us. Mm-hmm. So he doesn't think we're crazies anymore.
Right.
And that was a good meeting overall. I think that the man has a whole different perspective of the Republic.
And that influence will spread.
And
that's your point. And the influence is spreading, and more people are hearing.
Mm-hmm.
And
I could have easily got insulted by some of his comments early on, because he was very adamant about some things, and
mm-hmm,
he had been listening to the internet and junk.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't. I just held my peace, and I just calmly explained things to him the way it should have been, and he got it.
Well, President Tim, I see from Janine that we can announce the location for for your meeting in Arizona.
Okay.
So, Janine, do you have that information in front of you? I mean, I kind of know where it is. I've been there before.
You know better than I do, Robert.
All right. If we can get Jim Fitzgerald in here.
I'll see if I can find you.
Okay. It's at the Portales. Portales is a lovely commercial building in Scottsdale. It's on the corner of corner of Scottsdale Road and another street.
I'll give it to you in a little while. I'm sorry. I caught myself with my flat-footed here. Well, very good. We'll get Jim in here in just a minute. He's on the phone. Let's segue from what the president has reported on here, and I'd like to invite Congress to give us an update. I believe we have Dee Witherspoon. Is that right, from the Senate, Janine?
Yes. And he's
unmuted. Good evening, Dee, and welcome to the roundtable.
Good evening, everyone. This is Senator Dee Witherspoon tonight, and I give a quick report for the Senate in general. The Senate is working well and in harmony, more so, on the necessary acts that are being presented to us, and that's really good to see that we are coming together and working with each other, and that is helping and speeding things up for us well. Also, to remind everybody that the Republic Congress website does post the acts that we have passed. Now, more recently, both houses, we've passed the American Republic Dollar Act, and also the Ranger Act has passed, and I'm not sure if those have been posted yet. On the other, the Congress will not, we will not be convening next week, but I believe most of the committees, because we have important things that cannot be delayed, are going to still meet as they usually do. On the Republic Congress website, there is a new tab on there, and it's for the donations for Republic tab. And there's two different sections of that. One, Deborah Ringshop, Senator, and great need of help. And the other one is the general donations. That's it.
I see here. I went on the website while you're talking. You do have posted the De Jure Money Act of 2012. Would you like to talk a little bit about it? Give us a summary of it.
You caught me flat-footed on that one.
I think we need a bunch of art supports tonight.
Yeah, I am flat-footed, so that doesn't help
me at
all.
Hello,
D. Yes.
Hey, buddy, I enjoyed our visit with you down there in New Mexico.
Oh, well, it was a pleasure to have you here, and at least we're not that hot. You went to a hotter place, so.
Yeah, well, when you get home, you're going to have some of that presidential homemade ice cream. And
I'm sure they saved me some, because we go through that very sparingly. So I visit, and that's wonderful.
Yes, we'll hope you enjoy it, buddy.
Thank you.
I thought it was cherry pie.
Well, it was cherry pie, too. We had some of that, too. But I make homemade ice cream from time to time, and that just happened to make some the other night, and it wasn't bad.
Oh, it's really good. Unfortunately, I had to leave before we got to that.
Yeah.
Well, Dee, if I could refresh your memory, I'll just read the first section of it, perhaps. It says, the purpose of this legislation is to create Republic of the United States of America du jour money and deposit it into the Treasury for direct and indirect issue. This act may be cited as the Republic du jour Money Act of 2012. What's the point of it? What's the purpose, and what's it set the platform for?
Well, I'm very embarrassed right now because not being on the committee and not going, reading through it and making sure for myself that everything was correct and right and everything. I'm sorry, I really can't answer some of the questions of the detail on these things. So I do apologize for that. I'm kind of filling in tonight and embarrassed.
Okay, I apologize. I not only caught you flat-footed, but I put you on the spot, so I apologize.
That's okay. Got to get used to that.
Well, at least it's your turn. He does it to me every week.
Well, there's
there's just so many pieces happening, so many moving parts in the Republic right now, and I know that folks can't get to all the details, and so we just try to give a bit of an overview on the roundtable call so folks can see the pieces in context. And so that's fine. We'll look at that as we unfold after the break for July the 4th. What do you have coming up on your agenda here as we move forward?
I haven't the Geiger. I don't know what the schedule is going to be for we meet next. I'll find out somewhere between now and then. And quite often I don't find out till the last minute, but there again.
We have a little feedback problem, Robert.
From us or from...
It might be from DD. Are you on a speakerphone?
Okay, does that help any? No,
that's
I didn't
get
it. I can turn that speaker just a little bit to you, towards you. Oh, well, that's enough, yeah. How about that, Janine? Is that any better?
That's better, I think.
We just turned our speakers a little bit, so okay.
Okay.
So at this moment, I don't actually know what's on the table for the next convening.
Okay, well, we wish you all the very best on the 4th of July. I did hear that it was out of Congress that the flag got mobilized, not only creating the flag, but getting some produced for the 4th of July. Do you or someone in the, or you, Janine, do you have the address, the email address for the company that's providing the flags that folks may like to order them and get them, like, shipped quickly to get them for the 4th of July?
Right. We've already basically covered that last week, and our deadline is passed for getting them out by the 4th of July, but we have Representative Mueller out of Missouri. I believe on a couple of calls previous, we did post that information, but while we're on the call here, I will look for it. And we have bad feedback on this call tonight. I'm sorry.
Okay, it's probably the setup. I have a different sort of setup than usual. So let me see if I move the mic any closer, if that helps you at all.
Okay.
All right. Well, I apologize for that. We're trying to use a conference room to do it, and it's an experiment from my side. So.
Okay. I do have an announcement I'd like to make, Robert.
I would like you to make an announcement. Is that regarding Louisiana, Janine?
It is. I'm so excited, and it's my honor to report to the president and to the entire republic that the Louisiana Free State has turned green as of this evening.
All right.
Awesome. They've very hard. And that's just that. And also, I have a commitment from Ohio that by July 6th, the evening of July 6th, they will have, they're working to get the rest of their paperwork taken care of, and Ohio will be turning green by then. So they're working really hard out there right now.
We appreciate the states working very hard. I know some of them are, and we thank the people for their diligent efforts. How many states does that make we have ready?
We have 40 that are green, and Ohio will be 41.
Has Alaska come in yet?
Oh, Alaska's good.
Okay, good. I knew they were working real close on it the other day.
Yeah.
Awesome. That's 80%. 40 is 80%. Excellent.
That's
excellent.
More than two-thirds that we need.
Yes. Yes, indeed. Very good. Very good. All right, Janine, and I have now found the address for where the president will be in Phoenix, Arizona on Saturday. Saturday it'll be, I believe we start at, I don't know what time we start. I think it's like 8 o'clock or something. No, it's not that early? Okay. I think it's a little later than that. The address is 4800 North Scottsdale Road. It's called the Portales Corporate Center. It starts at 11. 11 a.m. I encourage you to come early and get a seat. All right.
One thing I would like to say is there was a question was raised about people that want to join the Republic. Would they be able to come and join the Republic that day? And the answer is yes. There will be forms available for those that have been thinking about it and want to see the documents, if they join or sign up and join that day, they can see the documents.
Very good. Okay. And I heard, too, there's a session for those who don't want to join, that they can come to the first part, is that
correct?
Yes,
they can come to the general update, but they won't be able to review the documents unless they are members of the Republic.
Okay. Very good. You want to say anything? No. Okay. Very good. So, well, thank you, Dee. Thank you for your comprehensive report there, and I apologize profusely for just really making a mess of it. In future, I'll get the prep between us a little better. All right, Janine. I do understand, though, that John Gorla is on the call and actually is prepared with an update that he'd like to give to us from the Judicial Department.
Yes, he's unmuted now.
Good evening, Justice Gorla.
Good evening. Thank you. I'm actually traveling, so I'm going to try to pull over here so I don't get one of those policemen that was being spoken of earlier. And then I can get things out. So I'm just available right now. I would like to announce that yesterday, right after the – I'm sorry, this
–
right after this morning's call with the president, which I have to commend the president on, it was quite well done, and he was
Let me try to mute them just a moment so they don't get
feedback. I just went off speaker. That should help, I guess.
Okay. Oh, that is better.
Okay, I am stopped now. So, after the president's talk this morning that was so well received by me and the others, I'm sure. We do have the same outline up on our website under Republic Education. And there are a lot of changes and additions and some good things going on with the website for the judiciary. The homepage now has a video of the Chief Justice explaining some things that are going on. And we have the Acts of Congress, we have statutes at large, we have a lot of several templates now that are going up, which we will continue to add to. The next step is to finish the district court section, which now has the names and phone numbers and emails of the almost completely updated list of district court judges, so that the people in the areas where they are in that need to talk to those judges will be able to reach them. The circuit court section is not started yet because it only lists what districts are in which circuit, but it will be a way to find out what's going on in the rest of the country. And eventually, when the circuit courts are active, will have the same reflection that the district courts have. There is a section for the common law courts of record. There's a section for the ecclesiastical courts, which will be coming up shortly. It's not there yet. And all in all, I think I had intended to be in front of my computer, but I had to leave. So I will be happy to ask everyone to get on the website and take a look at it. And of course, submit any questions you have for frequently asked questions. They'll be responded to as quickly as we can. We hope we can get to them within 72 hours, depending on who's available to do what and what research we may have to do to answer the question if it's a detailed question. And I think that's about it for now. I would encourage you all, as I said, to get on and take a look at it. And one thing I did want to mention again, if people had not recalled, there is a way to submit a case right on the website. So if you would go to some of the educational information and find out what the rules of court are, that should be up, if not today, tomorrow or the next day. It's been uploaded to the server. It just needs to be linked, and it will give a very good summary of what you need to do to properly submit a case to the court, so that you'll have your documentation for your evidence, the judicial notice, and all the things that you need to present a proper case. And unless there's some questions, I will yield the floor.
Thank you, Justice Gorla. Janine, I'd like to suggest we put it over on Q&A.
Okay. And Robert, before we have one more. I did find the call. I'm sorry. I'm going to have to mute you while I talk or something here. Hold on. Because it's just really bouncing. Okay, you asked me where the document was for ordering the Forever Glory flags. And if everyone will go to republicoftheunitedstates.org website, over on the far right under the Republic Updates tab and scroll down to weekly updates, look for the call, Republic Roundtable call from June 7th. And the document is there to with information for ordering the flags. And with that, Robert, I will go ahead and turn the Q&A on and turn this back over to you.
All right. Thank you, Janine. All right. So if anyone has any questions that they'd like to pose, comments they'd like to make, insights they'd like to share, the floor is yours. We'll take the first call out of Arizona, 928 area code. Good evening, caller.
Hello.
Yes, you are live.
Hi, this is Dennis Sutter, the Commissioner of Arizona.
Hi, Dennis.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. How's the road treating you, buddy?
It's constantly running.
Constantly running.
I'm constantly trying to keep up with what's ahead of me. That's anyway, I wanted to address your very first question to President Turner. And that was regarding how to operate as a sovereign within the context of the Republic. I'm not repeating the question exactly the way you put it. My question is that I did the 56-page Freedom Docs, sections 1, 2, and 3, and I'm wondering, is there anything about that that has to be changed or be brought up to date? Governor Howe and I have talked on a couple of occasions over the last 6 months or so regarding some possible changes that might be in place for that. And I'm just wondering, President Turner, if you have any feedback on that. And I couldn't quite hear everything that you were saying with regards to having a driver's license and all the other contractual things that you operate with in the de facto. As far as I'm concerned, I hope I can get knowledgeable enough to get rid of all that stuff and act as a true sovereign. But anyway, are there any changes that are being taking place to the Freedom Docs?
No, there are no changes that are needed with the Freedom Docs, to my knowledge. They were a permanent document to establish your status, and that hasn't changed because the documents that we base our status on are the Constitution and the Bill of Rights and the Holy Bible, as Congress has reaffirmed for our republic. So I don't think that it's necessary to change, because the Creator's law is eternal and it doesn't change, and that's what we based everything on.
Okay, I think one of the issues has to do with UCC-1 and not referring to the small man as a person or something like that. It's out there. He might be able to fuck up. He knows what I'm trying to say here.
Sir, are you on a speakerphone?
I am not on speakerphone, no.
You are not. Okay, I'm going to mute your phone while the gentleman asks his question and then unmute you again, okay? And we'll see if that works. Okay, would you ask your question again, please?
I was stating that I think one of the issues was with the way the UCC-1 was being filed. Maybe this is not the right venue for this. This could involve detail that we don't want to get into on this call. But I did have another question regarding the process of the grand jury. Should the grand jury be dealing with civil cases?
Okay, let me unmute them so they can answer.
Grand juries do not hear civil cases. They're not established for that. They're only to handle criminal cases.
Okay, that's what I understood from the Fifth Amendment. I just wanted to make sure that I was going down the right path here.
Okay, yes, sir, that's correct. You're correct. The grand juries only hear criminal cases.
Okay, well, one of the things that's going on in Arizona right now is the jury procedure committee, and they have pretty much rewritten the entire grand jury procedure document, and are trying to bring civil cases into the privy of the grand jury. And I, as well as several other people, are against that, as well as other things, but I don't want to really get into that on this call either. That's the reason I asked you directly, so that anybody who's a part of this call can hear your answer. And with that, I hope you have a safe time in Arizona. And again, I wish I could be there to meet you in person, but unfortunately, my job has me on the road. So
yes, sir. Yes, sir. The folks that are writing civil procedure for a grand jury don't understand how a grand jury operates, and they need to take another look at the law. Grand juries were never established to hear civil cases.
All right. Thank you. Are you okay?
In fact, grand juries don't hear cases. Grand juries only make determinations on whether to prosecute or issue a bill of indictment or a no bill. And they don't even issue the indictment. They issue the recommendation to the Attorney General's office, and the Attorney General's office is the one that issues, goes to the court to have the a warrant and issues the indictment. And that's the way the court system works. I've run into this problem with the grand juries all across the country. Texas has tried me with a grand jury several times, I think, and they don't have a clue about what they're even doing. That's the issues that we have with some of the folks in the Patriot community that are ignorant concerning law. They don't understand law. They don't understand due process. And grand juries cannot hear cases. Grand juries can only make recommendations for an indictment or a no bill. That is all they're supposed to do.
They're only there for the purpose of determining whether there's enough evidence to proceed with a jury trial.
That is correct. They are there to review the evidence and determine by a group of people, we the people, if this person has probable cause to believe that he committed a crime that will warrant a trial by jury, and that is all a grand jury does. They don't have that is their function.
Understood. All right, thank you for your time.
All right, thank you.
Very good, thank you, Dennis. All right, Janine, our next caller is Mark Gardner out of Nevada. Good evening, Mark.
Hi, Robert, Mr. President, Janine. I was wondering if you could give us an update on the financial distribution system for the Republic and how this funding that eventually will occur will be distributed to the states. Do you have any information on that?
Well, that's going to be entirely up to Congress, how they establish that, and I'm not sure that they have completed that yet. I know that we're going to need treasurers and comptrollers in each of the states to handle the funds, but as far as how the Congress intends to distribute it, I really can't answer that. I don't know.
Okay. I guess I don't have much more to say. So I just wanted to check. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Mark. Boy, that's unusual. That's just totally unusual, Mark. Glad to hear from you, brother. Very good. So we're going to move to the other side of the country and go over to Vermont. Good evening, area code 802.
It's Representative Gauthier.
How you doing? I'm sorry, I had my mute on. I'm calling to find out now in the situation of the flag. How can I get that? I don't have a computer, ma'am. Or somebody can give me the address, I'd appreciate it. But also, just as a warning that I don't got my email right now, so I can't do much really. So I was pretty bumped out today with that. But anyways, the question is that about this driver's permit, how quickly is that going to take place? I asked a year before.
I'm not sure how long it's going to be before that'll be available. The legislation has moved through Congress, I believe, on the immigration stuff, but we're going to have to address that with Congress on how they want us to handle that, because we can only do it according to their orders.
Okay. I think you should have been much. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, sir. We're going to go back over to Nevada. Larry Kripe. Good evening, Larry. We can't hear you, so check your mute button.
Okay. And now you can hear me.
Oh, there's that boy.
Good evening. Good evening, Mr. President. Robert Kanin. I have a couple questions. One is there any window that you might see that you might be around Nevada that we can meet you?
Don't know right now. I will be scheduling Nevada at some time, but I don't know exactly when that will be, Larry.
Okay.
Hey, Larry, you're only 6 hours away.
Oops.
6 hours from where? From where? From Arizona?
Yes. Robert, I'm sorry. We're really having some trouble with the feedback tonight. Robert, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can. Oh, did you not hear my response?
I'm sorry. No, we did not.
All right. So, Larry, I thought Las Vegas was only 6 hours from Phoenix.
Well, no, I'm up in northern Nevada. I'm not in Vegas.
Oh, okay. I see.
I'm up here in Lake Tahoe.
Well, hey, if you need a place to stay, buddy, you can. So if you want to come down this weekend, make plans.
Can you also give me the address again? I have a sister and brother-in-law live near Scottsdale that might want to come into the meeting. Can you give me that? And I
yes,
appreciate it.
4800-4800 North Scottsdale Road. It's on the corner of Scottsdale and Chaparral. And it's in a building called a Portales Corporate Center. Beautiful big glass doors, fancy building. You go in there, and then there's an amphitheater in the building.
Okay. What was the cross street, Robert?
Scottsdale Road and Chaparral.
Okay.
Just north of Camelback.
The only other question I have is there any window that you might see we might get some back pay?
I wouldn't even know where to start to answer that. Jim Fitzgerald said he'll get you a check in the mail right away.
I've heard that before.
A lot of creditors, huh?
I wish I could tell you it was going to be next week. I really, really do. But
get a tin cup and a cane.
I'm telling you. I've already got past that stage.
Well, anyway, that's it for now. Have a good evening, and thank you. I yield the floor.
Well, Larry, I just want to say that past the tin cup and the cane is living by faith. And God's promised us that there's always an abundance of all that we need. So it takes courage to go there, though, I admit. And we're all certainly being called to walk there. All right, Janine, we have a John Tillman. I'm not sure where 228 is from, but good evening, John.
Good morning. I'm the representative from Mississippi. I was wanting to ask Jim Turner something in the way of communication, especially over the last few days. I've had interruptions in mail, email service, and in the event that the de facto does go silent, is there any contingency plans for communication, either through internet or some other alternative means whereby we can stay in contact and stay viable? And I yield.
I don't have a contingency plan in place. I have recommended that we get in touch with the people who operate the ham radio networks. They would be an invaluable source for us if we could do that. And we could do that in a relatively short time because they're already established. And the ham radio networks are the absolute last resort. They'll go down last if there's a communication problem.
Absolutely, because that's one thing that greatly concerns me, especially in a time of the de facto national emergency, being able to have some kind of redundancy system set up whereby we could communicate and continue to be viable as a legitimate.
Yes, sir. We don't have any other communication plan in place, and I think you're right. We need it. We do need to talk to the ham radio networks because they can provide emergency assistance.
Would you please keep us abreast of that? And we thank you and commend you on the job that you are doing. Thank you very much, President Tim.
Yeah, we need, if there's anybody out there that is involved with the HamNet networks, it certainly would probably work, be a good thing for you to help us make contact with those folks, because I used to have contacts, but I don't have any more since I got out of emergency management. EMA is a great source, though, if in they have one in every county. That if we get to know those folks, they have contacts with the ham radio networks across the country.
Yeah, that's very, very good. I just heard this week from a totally unrelated source that ham radio will be the alternative. If there's any type of communications breakdown, ham radio will certainly be the strongest means of clear communication. And, you know, number of, I will say, years ago now, we had talked about...
I'm sorry, Robert, we're having difficulty again.
Okay. Good. A year or two ago, I know that we were talking about what it takes to establish good communications within your state, within your assemblies. And I would strongly encourage all of our listeners to talk about it. At your next assemblies, talk about how you're communicating with each other and what sort of contingency plans that you're establishing in your area. Because if we do have some sort of breakdown and closing of... we'll have to mute John, I think, Janine. If we have a breakdown in communication, if we have services cut, really it's going to be those who are your fellow members in the Republic and those you've established community relations with that's really going to be your family. It's really going to be the ones who you can count on. So if you're not already doing that in your state and your assemblies, I'd like to really encourage you to talk about that when you get together for the 4th of July, when you get together at your next assembly. Start really laying out a thumb sketch and a practical plan of what that's going to look like. Look at who's got what skill sets. You may have some who are good in communications. You may have some mechanics. You might have someone who is good with intelligence. Someone else might be good with firearms. Somebody else might be a good cook. Somebody else might have the resources of milling grain or doing something like that. And just look at what your resources. Somebody might have a camp stove where that becomes your means of cooking if you're not able to have electricity from a stove. So just kind of pool your resources. I mean, a lot of us are self-sufficient like that, but a lot of us aren't. So I just encourage us to get closer in that regard as we move forward.
One thing I would like to suggest to everybody, if you have an assembly in your local community, everybody could come together and pitch in $20 and you could put in a ham radio system with one of the members of the assembly that could communicate with all of the other assemblies nationwide with a ham radio set. And that's something we should probably give a priority to, and then we would have our own communication system. And we could at least do emergency communications between us if we did that by through net meetings and stuff. But we can do that, and it would relatively cost very little money if everybody pitched in to have at least one set up.
Okay. What would that look like? How would that...
Well, you'd have to go talk to somebody that's in the ham radio business, but if 40 or 50 people got together and pitched in $20, they could put in a ham radio system and a tower where you could, an antenna where you could speak. Not a tower necessarily, but we put them in pine trees down south, and work really well.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, there's a way to do it.
Okay.
You can find somebody with a building, a fairly tall building, that would let you mount one that you know. Many of the people around have those. There's ways to do it. We need to work on that, because it's really should be a priority. And I've spoken to many assemblies about this before, but it seems like there's nobody has taken the lead on this. I think that if we have somebody out there that would like to take the lead on helping us establish a ham radio network among our assemblies, please contact us, because I don't know enough about it to do it, but I know about it.
Good. I'll bet you there's some of us, some of you out there who know how to do this.
Yes,
so
we do.
If you do, would you please send us an email to either questions at therepublicoftheunitedstates.org or to Janine at rrb admin.
Dot admin.
And I appreciate the question, because it raises some things that we needed to take a look at, and it is urgent that we do get communications established, I believe. And I think that that would be the easiest and most economical way for us to do it is, even if you have to establish one in each assembly, people can come to that radio system or communicate with the person with the radio system and get messages back and forth across to others across the country.
Very good. Thank you, sir. We have Jim Coleman out of Alaska. Good evening, Jim.
Yes, sir. Good evening there. President Turner, just a quick question here for you about what the first fellow brought up about the Freedom Papers.
Yes, sir.
UCC 1, 2, 3, 4, you know, all the filings.
Yes.
Does that have to be refiled every 5 years? I mean, is there a limit on it? Like that, I've heard that you had to resubmit it every 5 years. Is that true?
It depends on what your state requires. Most states only require every 30 years if you filed as a transmitting utility.
Okay, yeah, I believe it was filed as a transmitting utility.
Okay, I think that's 30 years, but you need to check with your state to be sure.
And I could find it out at the UCC office then, supposedly.
Yes, sir. You can just call them or probably look it up online, but give them a call and they can tell you in just a moment.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, we went through all that as far up as we could go with it, you know, and I had just heard that, and I just, since that guy mentioned it a while ago, I just wanted to get it answered while it's in my mind. Well, thank you very much. You've been listening to your...
going to be a whole different ballgame in 5 years.
I'm here, the sporting and all, and... we pray for you every day. We pray for the whole system, and that's all I want to know. We yield the floor here.
Thank you, Jim. God bless. Thank you for your hard work down there in Alaska. Up there in Alaska.
Up there.
Up there in Alaska.
All right, Ernestine Trude, or Trude. Hi. Good evening.
Good evening, Robert. Good evening, Jeanine. Yeah, this is for President Turner. This is Chief Justice Frank Trudeau here in Arkansas.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, how are you doing, Tim?
I'm doing good, Frank. It's good to hear from you.
Good to hear from you, too, again. I just have a question for you that our district court justice was sworn in by, a matter of fact, Justice Gorla.
Yes, sir.
And it was done via telephone. Is that okay, or
yes.
Does she have to be sworn in by yourself?
No. The Justice Gorla can swear in the justice. That's quite all right.
Excellent. Okay, yeah, I wasn't too sure if that was done by yourself. You had mentioned it out of one of your calls earlier, and I thought, well, maybe you have to do that personally.
No, sir, that would be proper. Justice Gorla did it right.
Okay. I have the document here with us here in Arkansas. So, is she on the list that's on there, Jeanine? I don't know.
Oh, I'm sorry, I don't have that list up. If you want to hold with me, I'll go get the list for the judges in Arkansas. If you're going to bear with me a moment.
Okay, that's fine. Yes, okay. Justice Gorla just mentioned that, and if not, we'll send them up to you.
Sylvia, is that her name?
Cindy. Her name is.
Cindy. Yes, Cindy Slay.
Yes. Okay.
I have her information.
Okay, excellent. Okay, well, that's the only question I have for you. And good hearing from your call this morning there, Tim. Very, very informative.
Thank you, Frank. Hope y'all are doing well down there in Arkansas.
Yeah. Yes, we are. Yes, we are, Tim.
Look forward to seeing you again soon.
Okay, we will. We'll see you soon, too. Thank you.
God bless.
Well, our next caller is out of Colorado. Oh, where'd he go?
Oh,
did
he just dropped off. So as soon as he comes back in, we'll get him into the queue.
All right, very good. So we will take the call we have from Arizona, 928. Good evening.
Hi, it's Dennis Feather again. I just wanted to ask a quick question about how close we are to receiving funding.
I'm sorry, I had to mute Robert's line so we could hear you. Would you repeat your question?
Yeah, I just wanted to find out how close we are to receiving funding.
Okay, one moment, please.
I wish I could tell you the answer to that. I don't know. We're working on it. We have been had some, several hang-ups, but I honestly can't tell you the answer to that. I don't know.
The act that Congress put in place for the development of Republic money, what is that going to be based on?
That's going to be a commodities-based system, yes.
All right, thank you.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Dennis. Our next caller is area code 530. Good evening.
Good evening. This is Joanne. I am in a Northern California county, and we have only just under a quorum. We have only 11 signers at this point. And I'm beside educating myself at this in the various sites, specifically now with the Republic National site. I want to know if there's a way in due process to force, if someone is caught in the de facto web that has been created by the Patriot Act, how do we as members of the Republic address that? Who do we go to for help in the Republic? Who do we go to for help besides getting an education?
So
that's all. I'll just take your answer off the air.
No, stay on the line if you would for a minute. I just want you to clarify that. So you're saying, where do you turn if you are caught in the web of the de facto? Is that what I heard you say?
Yes, that is that the web that is not because there's been a civil or a violation of the law. It's not a lawful detainer. It's not lawful. It's legal by the de facto law.
Yeah, we understand that.
Okay, thank you.
You're going to have to start bringing these court cases to our courts, and I'm not going to say it's going to be an easy fight. Even then, it's going to be a fight. They're not going to just lay down. But we're going to keep pushing and pushing until we win, and we have the lawful right to do this. And they are acknowledging
so
that. At some levels, they're already acknowledging our court.
Okay. So that takes me back to the site, which is which has a way to properly submit a case on the website.
Yeah. Well, I'm not sure if it's up there yet, but we will have it up shortly.
Well, okay. Thank you. That gives me an answer for somebody.
Okay.
Thank you. And I yield the floor. And thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. You've actually your question brings up an internet question that we received this week, and it's more basic, but it's what is the immediate, and perhaps President Turner, you could address this, what are the immediate drawbacks that are to be expected by becoming sovereign and a member of the Republic?
I'll be honest with you, I've not experienced any drawbacks from it. It's been all positive for me. I've not had any drawbacks. I have had to explain some things to law enforcement. I have been beat up by the Southern Poverty Lechery Center, I call it, down in Alabama, have accused me of a lot of things, and some of the law enforcement down there has accused me. But usually when I go and sit down and talk to most of them, they change their attitude. I only have one Hitler down there, that's Andy Hughes in Alabama, in Dothan, in Houston County. He is a Hitler. And he doesn't like the sovereign movement, and he associates us with the violent sovereign movement. He hasn't got sense enough to know that we're not part of that. And, one day he'll learn after he gets slapped with some legal process that he's not going to be happy with one day. He's not going to overcome that. He will lose his job as sheriff at some point for violating the law. But other than that, most of the people down there have a little sense, and they don't give us too much problem. But most of my association with the Republic has been very positive, even with law enforcement and judges and all. It's not been difficult at all for me in most cases.
Well, when I look at this question, I see two parts of it, and I see this as a new inquiry. Was the drawbacks to be expected by becoming sovereign? You know, I think when you discover that you are free and you were designed to be free, God intends you to be free, and that the de jure structure of the United States of America is to be free, that's a wake-up call. That's a journey, a bit like in that movie The Matrix, where you choose to take the red pill rather than the blue pill and come out of your stupor. So I think that's a personal journey. And for most of us, that's a very exciting journey to be aware of that, the potential that you have, that, boy, you can actually live as God intends you to live, and that is free. So I just welcome you to learn more about the Republic, learn more about the history, learn more about what it takes to step out from under the grips of the de facto, and start going to your local assembly. Recognize that other people will help you and mentor you to learn what are the right steps of why you want to stand up and be counted in the Republic.
To me, it's a positive move. It's not a negative move at all. And, you know, the negative side is to stay and remain a slave in that system. I think that is a big negative to me.
The next question is, what is put in place to help us, we the people, the sovereigns, to protect ourselves from the de facto U.S.?
Well, we have our court system being implemented now with lawful legislation. We also have the Ranger program that is coming into play. It's not in play yet. The best way to protect yourself from the de facto is to educate yourself. The more education that you have, the more you understand how to operate as a sovereign, the better off you are and the less problems you have. Most of the people out here in the sovereign community create their own problems by doing stupid things. And you don't want to go out there and poke the bear in the eye with a sharp stick. That's not what we do. We go out there and try to live, let live, be responsible citizens. We pay taxes. I don't pay income tax, but we do pay other taxes. And if someone shows me where I'm wrong on the income tax, I'll be happy to take care of that. So far, I've not had anybody be able to do that. So, you know, I pay all lawful taxes that I owe, and we need to do the same. This is not a free system. It's not a dole system out here. We have responsibilities to help pay for what we use in our nation. Somebody has to pay for the roads, so every time we go down to and buy a gallon of gas, we pay a fuel tax. We have to pay sales tax to help take care of things that operate in our local communities. Somebody has to pay the bill, and we have to pay our fair share. The income tax is a useless tax. It doesn't do any good for your country. It goes to private bankers' accounts, and that's all that's about. And we can prove that. But, you know, I don't encourage others not to pay your income tax. If you want to pay them, that's up to you. Most people get into a lot of trouble not doing it, and someday I may too. I don't know, but so I don't go out and teach people not to pay their taxes.
Yeah, I was involved in Philip Marsh's movement back in the 90s, the Pilot Connection and the Liberty Foundation. I think we had 15,000 people who we taught the voluntary nature of income tax.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just let you know it did not go well for us.
No. Quite often it doesn't.
We had a lot of friendly CID and Treasury Department agents around our building.
Yeah, and I don't teach people not to pay the taxes. They should pay the lawful taxes and be responsible citizens.
Well, I think it was poking the eye in the bear, but basically, mm-hmm. You know, poking him with a stick. And they felt that if they could shut us down, then the problem would go away. And it certainly dispelled, you know, 15,000 Americans who were all counting on what the teaching was to. It put them all back in the box. So, but we've come further. I think we've come further now. I think we've got further along the way. So
the Republic is a brand new era.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Very excited. All right, sir. Well, I will forward you the link to this call, and you'll be able to hear that along with many other calls so you can learn about the Republic. I'd like to welcome our Lieutenant Governor out of Colorado, Jim Carpenter. Good evening, Jim.
Good evening, Robert. Good evening, Mr. President.
Hello, Jim.
Sir, I have a question. Would you mind going into a little detail for me as to what steps need to be completed to have our own currency?
Jim, we're having a bit of a hard time hearing you. I'm going to rephrase your question if I think I heard it right. Can you give us a bit of a better understanding of the currency? Is that right?
What it takes to create our own currency.
Okay.
Well, first of all, I'll be the first to tell you we're not ready for our own currency yet. That would create a mess in the Republic and around the country. That would actually put us squarely on the radar of the Treasury and our IRS, and that's a headache that we really don't want or need. What we're trying to do is interact with other countries and do the conversion through a debit card system to fund the Republic now until we get in a position where we can do our own currency. It's our opinion that the corporation is right on the verge of total and complete collapse, and at that point, then it won't be a problem. But until the corporation is completely dead and not able to retaliate, we don't need to create our own currency, in my opinion. I will do what Congress says do, but I encourage them not to come out with a currency right now.
Thank you, sir. That was a great explanation. So let me rephrase it just a little bit then. What steps do we need to take yet before we can have this other process you were describing?
We're taking those steps now. We're partnering with foreign banks and trying to work with them to get funding in those banks so that we can issue debit cards for our people. That's what we're trying to do right now.
Thank you, Mr. President. I yield, and we're looking forward to seeing you here in Colorado in the next 2 weeks.
Yes, sir. We look forward to seeing you. Thank you, Jim.
Very good, Jim. Jim, didn't you also email in a question here? I thought you emailed in a general question this week. Do you recall what it was? I don't have it in front of me.
No, Robert, I don't remember. I may have in one rare moment of lucidity, but I don't remember that.
All right. Very good. Nice to hear from you, brother.
Good to hear from you, Robert. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Our next caller, Janine, is Martin Vaughn out of area code 870. Good evening.
Hello.
Hello, we can hear you.
Okay. I'm new to this Republic issue here. Last month was my first meeting I was invited to. And when I first went in there, I started hearing it about the Republic being reborn. I was actually shocked to hear something about the United States being a corporation and that the Republic was being reborn. And then I felt deceived after all these years as an American citizen and a veteran and, you know, was willing to die for our country, and things are getting worse and worse. And I'm at the point where I'm totally disgusted with the so-called corporation. My question is, sir, is that if my wife and I join into the Republic, will we be in a parallel system, the Republic with the corporation?
Yeah, for the time being, it will be a parallel system until the corporation is dead. Corporation can't survive. It's financially, we were talking to some people yesterday, and they don't know how it's holding on now. It is in really, really bad shape, and they're expecting a total and complete collapse of that corporation in Washington any time. And it appears to us that it's imminent, and at that point, then we will see. We hope what we're trying to do is establish ourselves to the point that where we will be instituted as the lawful government when that happens. And that's what the Republic, we are the only lawful government even now. But as long as the corporation is still alive, it will be a parallel system.
Well, about a year ago, we moved up here in Arkansas from Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And we lived in the Houston area, and I knew for many years that the system was going downhill. And
yes,
it's only a matter of time, and it gets shorter every day, that I believe that the system is going to collapse.
Yes, sir, we agree.
So we moved up here on 11 acres of woods. Our house is right in the middle. We're growing our own garden. Of course, we store some food and stuff, that beans, legumes, and things like that, because I feel that we have to be self-sufficient in a matter of maybe months. And I'm just wondering if I'm on Social Security now. If I become a Republican, would I still be drawing Social Security, or will the corporation say, no, you no longer belong to us, and cut it off?
Well, so far I'm not seeing anyone have a problem with that, but I will warn you that I seriously doubt Social Security will be up and running very much long.
Okay, I agree with you.
I don't think they can pay it. They're actually not able to pay some retirements this month, I was told yesterday. I didn't know that until yesterday, but I was told that the month of July, some retirement funds won't even pay.
Yeah, I have a brother that's retired from California, and he's sweating it big time because he's looking for that. He's not going to have a pension anymore.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I know it's tough, and people better get their heads out of the sand. I was disappointed with the Supreme Court today. I think they're way out in left field, and we better wake up and get the heads out of the sand because we're in deep trouble here.
We need to build this republic because this is the answer. We do have the answer. We do have a plan that will stabilize America. We just need the people to come on board and realize that this is the only answer in America. There is no other.
Well, I've been asking how to join. I've been online. I've been following all the Republic stuff. And I've been downloading all the PDF files that I can get.
Right.
And but I still don't know how, even though I requested online. I think there's a local guy here in Mountain Home that I guess does the recruiting, but we keep missing each other.
Yes, sir. Maybe, Janine, can you help with that?
Yes. Are you in Arkansas, sir?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. If you will send me an email. And my email address is rrb.admin.
Wait a minute.
Okay.
Wait a minute. Let me get a pen here. Okay, it's RRV as in Victor?
No. No, B as in Bureau, Republic Records Bureau. So rrb.admin@republicoftheunitedstates.org. And I'll let you catch up with that because they're long ones.
Appreciate that. I'll go ahead and yield and continue less unless you have some more to say to me.
Okay. Just send that to me and I will get it forwarded to the governor.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Well, welcome, Martin. We're excited to have you on board. More and more Americans are starting to wake up, and you are a breath of fresh air to hear that that you get it as well. So very good. Well, Janine, we have actually reached the end of our question and answers tonight, close to our old time limit of 90 minutes.
Isn't that great?
It's wonderful. Wonderful. So I would like to suggest that we have an early night tonight.
I'm sure the president will appreciate that since he had a very early day.
Absolutely. So I'm going to sign off without him here. He's stepped out of the room. So do we have a volunteer who would like to close us in a word of prayer?
If you'd like to volunteer, please press star 6 on your phone.
Oh, we have an anonymous in the call, so good evening, anonymous.
Hi, how are you? I didn't know I was going to volunteer, but here I am. are you guys having a meeting next week?
Oh, you mean a roundtable call?
Yeah, on Thursday.
Oh, I'm assuming we are, Robert. We actually, I think next week is our one-year anniversary of the roundtable.
Oh, we absolutely are. We're
so I think
we
should have a call.
Balloons and streamers.
On the 5th of July, you're having a call?
Yes.
Yeah.
The Republic Congress will not be meeting on Tuesday.
Wow.
Party will be over though, but by Thursday. So
that's right.
The party will be over. Okay.
And Robert, would you like to, or RJ, would you like to close the call in prayer for us this evening?
Yeah,
hey,
I told. Yeah, go ahead.
I just wanted to thank you. I had the opportunity of listening to your call with Tom Chapman
And kudos to you, my friend. You've done an excellent job. And I just, I didn't get it until that call. I said it on the call last week, but I get to tell you in person or ear to ear tonight. I so much appreciated how you take a new guest and just help us get to know them. And I thought that was such a strong message of fellowship and of how the message in the Republic as well is as we get to know one another better and as we get to know each other as and our backgrounds, it's a whole lot easier to be respectful to one another. And
intention is really important. And when people join me, I want to find as quickly as possible the intention of the people who come on to share their intel. The axiom goes, I don't care how much you know until I know how much you care. So it's really important. In fact, to Tom Chapman, that's the second time he's joined me, and I think the conversation together went really well.
Oh, I didn't hear if he was on this week. I heard your first call.
So he was on, just the other day, and I appreciate the compliment.
Yes, very good, sir.
In fact, I would love to have Tim Turner on anytime. My door is always open. Wednesday and Friday mornings I've set aside for that. I've had some challenges recently, though, health challenges and financing challenges. It's like I haven't been able to be on Fridays for some time. It's been a blessing that Ken has been able to be there on Fridays, even though I have disagreements with him. I have financial challenges, and I've been in the hospital recently, and so I'm just letting you know.
Well, let us know specifically either offline, if you like, or publicly how we can lift you up in prayer, and I'd be happy to do so.
I appreciate that. Are you ready?
I am ready.
Dear Father in heaven, in the name of Jesus Christ, we come unto you, and we thank you for this opportunity that we have to stand as new founding fathers and new founding mothers for our country. We ask that you will take us by the hand and guide us in the work that we are engaged in. We ask that you will lead by inspiration and even revelation, every one of us with positions of responsibility. And Father in heaven, will you reach out to the men and women across this country, and will you wake us up and bring us together that we will come together for this cause, the cause of reestablishing this republic in our country and standing up for you, standing up for the cause of freedom. Please, we ask that you will hedge up the way of the adversary before us. We ask that you will strengthen us financially and physically and emotionally and mentally for the work that we have been doing. Thank you for covering us with your blood. Thank you for guiding us to this extent. We know we have work to do, and we know that your hand is in this work that we are doing. Thank you for all that you've done for us. We know we have much work to do. And watch over us this night and this week as our country celebrates the 4th of July, the birth of a nation. And as this republic is re-inhabited, here we are again with another birth of our nation. Again, thank you. We praise your name. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, RJ. Well, thank you, President Turner. Thanks for coming to Arizona here and doing a call together. This is great. Our call before the first year, we have a face-to-face. So.
All right. We're glad to be here. And
do you have any closing thoughts to finish out with?
Well, I appreciate everybody's participation. Look forward to talking with everybody face-to-face. And we really enjoyed meeting the public and the people of this republic. I'm out here talking to my bosses.
All right. Well, you're a great servant.
I'm trying to be a good servant. So
you certainly are.
I look forward to seeing all of you.
All right, Janine, the board's back to you.
All right. Thank you so much, and good night, everyone, and God bless America. Through the night. with a light from above, from the mountains to the prairies, to the oceans, white with foam. God bless America, my home, sweet.
Hooray!